We're going to start today with a conversation with Dimitris Memos from Greece. And Dimitris is the founder CEO of Marine Traffic, a company that has got some traction and built a sizable amount of revenue building from Greece. Welcome, Dimitris. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Svan.
So, you know, folks, I have to tell you a little story of I met Dimitris to do his entrepreneur journey story, which some of you probably follow on my blog, the day after the Brexit vote happened. So it was a, you know, very depressing night of watching television and watching on television how Europe was shooting itself in the foot. And then the next morning, the first call I had was with Dimitris on his company story, and I felt like this really is the solution for Europe and most certainly for Greece. As you know, a lot of Southern Europe is in deep recessions, and it's really important for entrepreneurial successes to come through. So I invited Dimitris to share his story with you, and hopefully some of you in various parts of Europe are watching and will get inspired by his story. Dimitris, tell us about Marine Traffic. What do you do?
Well, Marine Traffic is a global ship tracking service. And so we tell the consumers and businesses about vessels' positions, so where any ship is around the world at any given time. Actually, Marine Traffic is the most popular maritime-related online service right now. So just to give you an idea of you know, the extent of this endeavor, imagine that at any given time you can go online, go on a website or mobile apps, and get live information about 150,000 vessels. So you know, people rarely understand how big this fleet is. So it's important to understand the impact this fleet has around us, since 90% of the world's goods are transported by sea. So that's what we do: track vessels around the world, and we use this data to create useful applications for both for the shipping industry and basically anyone who's interested on a ship's position.
So, you know, my father in the 70s founded and ran one of the first container shipping lines in India. So I grew up in a surrounded by shipping industry talk. And when I was talking to Dimitris, it all kind of came alive for me. Ships basically call in and out of ports. And there are lots of service providers who cater to these ships at various levels, and they need to know the positions of ships and which ship is coming in and out, and offer their services and sell their services, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where the information that Dimitris's company, Marine Traffic, sells is vital, because there is so much activity around the world around trade, basically, and ships are one of the key facilitators of trade. So, Dimitris, let's get to your company building story. You have a wonderful bootstrapping story, and I imagine it couldn't be otherwise, because in Athens, Greece, there is not really a lot of financing available. So tell us how you started and how you built your business without external financing.
Well, the Marine Traffic started as a side project, as an experiment, back in late 2007. It was back then it was essentially a map where anyone could connect and send vessel positions, which essentially created a mashup, which was pretty trendy back then. So it was an open project for the community, mainly the which started with radio amateurs supporting the community, and then carried on to the shipping industry. maybe it would be useful to give you some very quick background on how marine traffic works to understand that. We use a system called AIS, the Automatic Identification System, which essentially is a radio broadcast by the vessel itself, with the vessel's positions and position and other identification information, so that other vessels in the vicinity can see the vessel and use this information for navigational safety. So we have a network of antennas around the world on the coastline, picking up the signal and sending it back to our servers and processing it and displaying it to the world. So we are basing this this project on the community, since we have more than 1,000 or 1,500 operators right now that operate our antennas. So it's essentially crowdsourcing a business. So that's how it started, and now, of course, it's evolved into a more sophisticated infrastructure around the world. So started as a side project. It gained traction pretty fast as a free service, of course, back then, as it was a pretty novel idea and the only place one could get the six position online. And in 2012, we decided to rebuild, reposition, and relaunch marine traffic as a professional service to the world. So until that time, marine traffic had some income, mainly through Google Ads on the free website. And
how long did you continue in the free mode? How long was the free part of the story?
So marine traffic was essentially free until 3 years ago.
And how long was that from the beginning of launch of the free service, free site project?
Well, the website was launched in December 2007.
Okay, so you had a different business during this time, right? You had an advertising agency business.
So the revenue generating business was a digital agency here in Athens. In 2012, we decided that to dedicate the whole team to the marine traffic project back then. So for a year, we rebuilt the whole system and prepared for a switch from free to freemium. So during that time, we created new services that we then offered as subscriptions on top of the free day of marine traffic.
And what do customers pay your paying customers, how much do they pay to subscribe to the service?
So right now, first of all, we've got a whole different range of customers. Marine traffic is being used by the shipping industry and everybody in the maritime ecosystem. So suppliers, logistics companies, ports, etc. So this is the B2B part of our business. So these customers, depending on the service they get from us, can be in the range of 1 to 10,000. That's the main bulk of our business per year.
$1 to $10,000 a month.
A year.
So a year or a month.
Year, ARR. So overall, right now, and let me just conclude. We also have the lower end of our business, which is essentially a B2C part, where, for example, boat owner can use marine traffic to get a better idea of maritime traffic around him at any given time, so that he can sail safely. Or the captain's wife can use marine traffic to track her husband across the seas. Okay, so that's the lower end of our business, and those customers typically pay less than $10 per month. So on average,
so how do you acquire customers?
Right now, it's inbound marketing. So 90%+ of our business is SEO, and of course, we're building on the traffic and exposure that Marine Traffic has and has built during the years. We are right now we're focusing on converting this traffic on the website to paying customers. We do have around 5.5 million active users right now. So that's quite a significant pool for us to work on. On the outbound strategy right now, we're only working on with some public relations and industry events. So not much else.
But largely it's inbound traffic. And it's the thing that I really like about your kind of business is it's very niche and it's very precise on who is the user and who is the target customer. And it's, you know, it's not a billion-dollar market. It's a smaller market, but it's very precisely positioned. And, you know, I happen to be a huge fan of these kinds of businesses, folks. Those of you who are listening, one thing that you need to be kind of conscious of is that we are sitting in 2016, and in 2016, you know, more than 20 years after the internet, the commercial internet was born, there aren't huge, broad opportunities lying around everywhere. There are some, but there are lots of niche opportunities. And here you just heard Dimitris talk about the fact that there are 150,000 ships plying in different oceans and seas all over the world. And it's a very particular market. It has its own very specific needs. And there is a largely B2B business, but there's also a B2C business where the captain's wife needs to check marine traffic information to see when her husband is going to come home. So there are all these nuances and you know, behaviors of this particular niche. And what Dimitris has done is created a business that caters to this niche and its needs. And in general, this type of business building is working really, really well. If you follow our Entrepreneur Journey series, you'll see numerous stories like this that we bring to light all the time. And from all over the world, people are finding these niches to cater to all over the world. The other thing that you heard in Dimitris' story that I want to underscore is that he started Marine Traffic while doing his advertising agency business. And that is also a very common way of getting a product company or a subscription service company off the ground while you have some other services business. So if you follow the 1M1M work, there's a series of books, one of them in the Entrepreneur Journey series, and one of them is Bootstrapping Using Services. So the methodology that Dimitris is talking about is bootstrapping using services, doing service businesses to get cash in the door, which you can then use to attempt something more scalable, more ambitious, and perhaps even a bit more interesting, is very much recommended and encouraged, at least in our community. You know, the counterpoint of that, a lot of people say, is it, you know, distracts you and it takes away your focus. I actually don't believe in any of that. I think it's, at the end of the day, you're going to need to survive, and to survive you need cash. And you have to arrange for cash to come into the system somehow or the other. So Dimitris just told you his story of how he managed to go for 5 years with the advertising agency business, and it worked very well to then bootstrap Marine Traffic with that money, and today it's over $5 million of revenue on Marine Traffic, and the advertising business advertising agency business is no longer necessary to keep this afloat. So that's another lesson to learn. Dimitris, I want to ask you what your position is on external financing. I know, you know, entrepreneurs around the world are jumping at the bit to constantly raise financing, and we at 1M1M don't believe in that as the end as the end goal of entrepreneurship. But I'm interested in knowing what your perspective is on the subject.
Okay. Before going there, if I may come back to your previous point for just a note about the services and product living under the same roof at the same time, I just want to say that having tried this in the past as well with different products and different that actually failed at the end of the day, I think I can safely say now that that at one given time you need a leap of faith, and it's that difficult moment when you have to really focus on the product side and probably let the services go. And that's what we did back in 2000.
Very tricky moment where you have to make that decision, yes.
Exactly. But if you don't do that early enough, maybe the distraction does exist at the end of the day, and it might not let you exploit the full potential of the product side. So it's not black and white, I think. The truth is always in the middle. Anyway, that's just a note. So about financing, we're in Europe. Of all places, we're in Greece. So it's a different story than being in Silicon Valley and following the VC rules. It's here in Greece, access to capital hasn't been easy, and it's not easy now either. I'm just saying that because if we were in Silicon Valley, maybe the things would be different for us as well. But being here, I am not a fan of building a company and a product just to raise capital, because in some cases that's the objective, I think the objective should be focusing on the product and really trying to create value for someone. So we have been fortunate enough to be able to sustain the growth until now on marine traffic sales alone and internal financing, and we are fortunate enough to have a profitable business. So we don't have the urgency to raise capital just because our burn rate is too high. Go ahead.
How big do you think this business can be based on your total available market? Just forget about raising money. If you just continue to do what you're doing and executing precisely the way you are precisely executing right now, in what time frame do you think, what kind of size scale can you reach?
Well, I am not a futurist, so I don't know. Right now, I can only say that the market, the niche markets we're in, depending on the definition of the market, is pretty small. So it's probably a couple hundred million dollars. But I truly believe that it's really a new market. So it's expanding day by day, and that there's a huge opportunity for a much larger addressable market. So what we're doing right now is that right now and for the next few months is that we're looking inside and making sure that the foundations are stable enough for us to be able to sustain the growth and get marine traffic at scale. So we're focusing on strengthening our infrastructure, streamlining processes, optimizing unit economics, and fine-tuning the product, making sure we've got the perfect product market fit. And then maybe there will be a point where we'll decide that we would welcome a an injection of capital to grow faster, and make sure we've got the market share we deserve. So right now we don't have the agency, but maybe at some point it would make sense for us to to go faster. But of course, as you implied before, there's always this internal struggle between raising capital and getting an external investor on board, and the independence that a bootstrap company has. So we'll see when we get there, I guess.
And what is the Greek entrepreneurship scene like now? Is there activity? Are there a lot of entrepreneurs working on projects? What do you see, and what are you doing to help along that scene?
Well, you might have heard that Greece is not in the best state ever. Europe is not great either, generally. So people are seeing technology as a possible solution to problems we have. So the startup ecosystem, especially here in Greece right now, is very active. We do have a lot of talent and a lot of great and creative people. We do have major problems as well, though. As I said, access to capital is minimal, and there's the whole community psychology is not at its best either. So people are trying to get out of Greece. Best minds are fleeing to Europe or the States right now. So there is a momentum, but it usually ends up by the founders moving to the States and building a great company there. There are pretty a few examples of that. So right now it's not fantastic. We are trying to pay it forward and help as much as we can as well. And the ones that we've stayed behind. Right now I'm doing that through the entrepreneurs organization here in Athens. We're trying to give back to the entrepreneurs community and help younger entrepreneurs grow faster and succeed in their businesses through mentorship or any other support we can give.
Mm-hmm. So, Dimitris, we're going to speak next with Helen Dubery from London. And if you have time, if you could stay for that, that would be great to get a flavor for it. We would love to hear from other entrepreneurs who are working on projects in Greece, and please, encourage them to come and pitch at these roundtables, and we'll be happy to work with them.